He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Thursday. It's the Thursday, July 20th, 2023, Best Stocks Now live show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management. And I'm here with Barry Kite, our chartered financial analyst. They're calling it the Tesla margin whiff. As Tesla whiffed on their margins, yeah, they had to, unload some inventory. They had the lower prices. It cuts into margins. And for that reason and other reasons, the NASDAQ is down 116 points right now. That's an 80 basis point drop. But the NASDAQ has had a pretty good year, to say the least. It's at 14,242. The Dow, on the other hand, is up 216 points. We'll have to look into the workings of the Dow, the inner workings, see what's driving it. It's up 207 to 35,268. The S&P is down 9, 4,556 on the S&P, 4,556. The small caps are down 40 basis points. Crude oil is up 55 cents. Crude oil has been in rally mode. Crude oil is at $75.90. Gold is down $2, $19.78. It wants to go above $2,000, it looks like to me. Silver's down a penny. The 10-year, here's another problem for the NASDAQ. The 10-year's up 9 basis points to 3.83. So welcome to today's Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management, a nationwide fee-based only money management firm. And I'm here with Barry Kite, our CFA and CFP. And we'll be looking at what's happened since we last gathered here together yesterday at this time. The market, Barry, that's one of the things I enjoy about the market. Every day is different.
Yeah, definitely. You can say that again.
You know what? I mean, that's what
it'll kind be different of, in 5 minutes.
It keeps it exciting for me. What am I going to wake up to? What new medical breakthroughs are there? What new tech breakthroughs are there? Which companies beat their earnings? Which companies miss their earnings? How's the overall economy going? How are countries around the world getting along these days? How is the situation in the U.S. going with an upcoming election next year? So anyways, it's always interesting, really never a dull moment. And today is no different. There's a lot of not-so-dull moments, Tesla being one of them. We'll call Tesla the biggest story of the day here, as they reported. And I would say in today's market, Tesla is probably the most watched and anticipated earnings report during earnings season. Let's check in. Okay, Tesla did beat their earnings estimates, but it was all about the margins, okay? And the margin is you take all their sales and you subtract the cost of sales. You have two margins, actually. First, you have your operating, your gross margin, actually, your gross margin, which is the direct cost versus the sales. And then after your gross margin, you have to subtract all the overhead costs, and you arrive at an operating margin or net profit or EBITDA, as it's known, which is earnings before interest, taxes, depreciation, and amortization. It's the gross margin that had the folks all worried about Tesla, and they did miss their gross margin. And for that reason, the stock right now is down 6.4%.
And we mentioned margins yesterday. I mean, they've had some margin contraction, I think over the last either 4 months or last handful of reporting periods, and that's good. And you knew it. I mean, they've been reducing the prices, right, of those those vehicles, the difference is they're selling and delivering, you know, they're creating, they're building and delivering more, which is why, you know, you get an earnings beat, but a margin decline, right?
Yes. And, you know, in the meantime, they are the world's leader by far. Okay. There's not even a second place at this point in time. They rolled out their new model this past week in their Cybertruck.
Delivered 466,000 vehicles.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
And, okay, Tesla started out the year at $100, all right, and it's at $273. Do the math. The stock has almost tripled this year, there's going to be some pullbacks along the way. Now it comes down to valuations, right? I mean, what will happen in the future? What is their growth rate expected to be going forward over the next 5 years? They're still talking up a gigafactory in India. They're just rolling the Cybertrucks off the line. And, you know, what kind of multiple will the stock continue to command? I mean, it does command a glamour multiple. There's no question about it because it's one of the great growth stocks of our era. Tesla currently has P/E ratio of 73. It has a forward P/E ratio just over 50, somewhere in the 55 area. Why does GM and Ford, trade at much lower multiples? Because they're not the growth story that Tesla is. So that's probably your biggest story, and that is impacting the NASDAQ. Tesla's a big member of the NASDAQ. At Tesla down 6.2%. The other big earnings story is Netflix. You know, they disappointed. They kind of had their big jolt last quarter when they cracked down on the password sharing. So it doesn't surprise me. We don't own Netflix. It doesn't surprise me to see Netflix undergoing some profit-taking here either. Netflix is almost, Netflix hasn't quite doubled. It's up about 70% this year. It's down 7.9%. So when you take those two stocks, which are both members of the NASDAQ, you've got a down NASDAQ today. And, of course, the NASDAQ, you've got a little bit of rarefied air. You've got some helium in a lot of those stocks. That was the subject of my newsletter last week. I had a picture of a couple of people breathing in helium and getting giddy. Well, there's a little bit of that in the market right now. There's no question about it. So you have to really, really, really be in tune with and watch P.E. ratios, forward P.E. ratios, valuations at this point in time. And, you know, and you're seeing the market spread out. Yesterday it was the financials. That was really the hot spot in the market. All these banks, the regional banks. But I would just say this: now that they've come back after that massive sell-off that they had, what do you have next? What are you going to do for me next? Because these stocks are not really growth stocks in any way. There's a few exceptions. They're mostly single-digit growers, and now that they're back to where they were, I don't see them as being a very lucrative area to be investing in at this point. At this point in time, now the time to invest in them was, when was it, March, when Silicon Valley Bank went down and the other one went down.
Yeah, would have been March 7th or March 8th time frame right there is when they all when Silicon Valley began their drawdown, and then. Of course, that trickled down to a handful of other names for basically most of March.
So that was the time to step up to the plate if that's your cup of tea. And I wouldn't say that they're that great of investments here at this point in time. You also have a pretty big jump in interest rates today. I'm not sure why. It could be some profit-taking. The bond market has had one heck of a rally here over the last couple of weeks. The bond market had it completely wrong. The last CPI, PPI report, the bond market expectations was a total whiff by the analyst, and you saw an almost immediate 25 basis point drop in interest rates that it had built in because it was wrong. And now you're going to see a little bit of sell-off. There's been some short-term profits made in bonds. And, you know, I saw one today. We'll talk about it a little bit later. I think it was 5.85. It was a Jefferies group.
Jefferies. Yep.
Pretty good financial. So that's kind of the state of the bond market. You know, if you're very nervous about the market, I can't tell you how many people over the years that have said, hey, I'd just be happy with 5 or 6% per year. You know, you can do that in individual bonds, holding them for
the next three to five window's been kind of that sweet spot.
It is an alternative, okay? We do run the bond fund for the very, very nervous. But we also run some growth funds for those that want to try to beat that 5, 4.5, 5, 6%. This is Bill Gunderson. This is the Best Stocks Now show. We'll be right back. Back here to the second quarter of today's Best Stocks Now show. Well, the raw numbers on Tesla, they came in with 91 cents in earnings. They were expecting 82 cents, and they came in with $24.93 billion in sales. That beat by $200 million. Those are the raw numbers, but then you start digging into the ratios, which is what the financial analysts do. They start looking at the income statement itself, and you look at the percentages, gross margins, operating margins, etc. And it was the gross margins, I would say, that probably was the bugaboo there. With Tesla. They call it the margin crunch. Now, let me just see if we have operating margins came in at, 9.6. That's pretty low, actually. I mean, the car business is difficult. You have to control your overhead. That doesn't leave much for overhead when 90.4% of your sales goes to direct cost. Last quarter, they were at 11.4% margin.
In their margin, by the way, historically has been over half, you know, double the margin of your other automakers. If I'm not mistaken, I think, you know, Ford's margin's around 4 or 5%, which is why they trade, like you said, at the multiple that they do. One interesting fact was, you know, going through the transcript was the plan to invest $1 billion into their Dojo supercomputer, which is kind of an AI play, I guess, by the end of 2024. And the purpose of that thing is to train driverless cars. So,
okay, well, no, I misspoke. Actually, there was their operating margin, which you corrected, that came in at 9 point. That's the bottom line. That's after the gross, after the direct expenses, after the overhead, which that's a pretty high, like you say, in the car industry, 9.6 is a pretty good operating margin. But last quarter, it was 11.4. So there's the bugaboo, and that's why you're seeing the stock off 6.1.
And it's been dropping from there. I think at one point, I want to say it was close to 20, if not. It depends on if it was gross or operating, like you said. The numbers came down for the last four, I think, reporting period.
Yes, and that's one thing people, you know, you can look up quarter by quarter their income statements, and you can scan through there. You can see the growth. And you can see the percentage of profit, their margins, and see which direction their margins are going. Okay, now we go back to the macro picture of the market, way above up high above Tesla. the economy. Initial jobless claims drop again, and that could be the reason why we're seeing a big jump in interest rates also, besides some profit-taking in the bond market. That's a pretty significant drop.
Yeah, 228 versus consensus was 242.
Yep.
Now, don't forget, we've been looking through these weekly numbers for a while now, and for the longest time, that number was around 189, 190, even though all the analysts kept saying 200, and they kept overshooting it. But, yeah, today, and 228 versus a 242 consensus, so, yeah, that's probably why you're, you know, which continues to be, you know, the we'll say one interesting
stickiest
thing.
Part of inflation,
right.
For sure.
Stickiest part of inflation, and of course that's what the Fed has certainly harped on that for a while. One interesting piece is that the continuous jobless claims actually came in at 1.754 million versus 1.729 expected, which I don't know, the last handful of, since I've been following this number, usually the continuous claims has been coming in less than expected. So this is one time where your continuous claims, right, are above what was expected. So, you know, who knows, that, you know, that could show that it's really almost kind of look at it almost as a mixed report where you do have a little, you know, continued softness in the numbers.
And I can just tell you my boots on the ground assessment is everybody I talk to is looking for help. I listen to my podcast and my Padres and whatnot, so I hear a lot of South Carolina ads interspersed.
The Padres have been doing good since the All-Star break.
Better. They got quite a gap to make up to make
right.
The play. But, okay, so now the next big shoe to drop here in South Carolina is Volvo is getting ready to ramp up, and they're going to build their all-electric EV here out by Somerville. That's a massive plant they've built. So if you're looking for work, you're tired of Motown, Detroit, I don't know what you would call it out here, but we're a big auto manufacturer, and Volvo, which is owned by China. Geely Motors bought Volvo, the Swedish company, and that's a massive plant that they've built out there near Somerville, South Carolina, and now they're ready to man that plant and get the production line going. Look out, Elon Musk. Iron ore copper prices rise as China flags stimulus for property sector. Well, you know, China, I wouldn't invest in the basic materials because of that news, but they are trying to juice their economy, which continues to be a problem. Now, here's an interesting story. Exxon, okay, which has been drilling for oil. I don't know how long Exxon has been around. Now they're going to build a giant lithium plant. They're going to start mining lithium as we slowly move away from gasoline to lithium. And here's your word of the day. It's called, they call it the, where was that, facility in Arkansas. There's a big belt that goes through the south, the Smackover Formation. That's a geological trend that runs from Texas to Florida. It's rich with saltwater brine, which contains lithium. And the companies are increasingly optimistic they can scale up technology to extract it. So that's the new Texas tea, I guess. We'll call it the Arkansas tea, lithium. I know North Carolina, too, has a lot of lithium.
You can't be singing the Beverly Hillbilly song.
Yeah,
in my head.
He got rich. Texas he tea. Sold his mineral rights to his lithium in his backyard. Okay, now, financial planning, you always put in an expected rate of return, which varies over the. And I guess these software packages, what package is it that we use for financial planning?
It's changed names recently. NavaPlan was the longest, I think it was named that for 25 years. And then they got purchased by, they used to be a Canadian company, got purchased by someone else. But yeah, NavaPlan is the one that we use forever.
So. And there's a few other major competitors. When we come back, I want to talk a little bit with you, Barry, about the expected rates of return because Bernstein has given their rate of return would they expect over the next decade? And I want to compare that with what Navaplan is saying. We'll be right back. This is Bill Gunderson. Thank you for tuning in to today's Best Stocks Now, Best Inverse Funds Now show. I put several hours of research in during the wee hours of the morning each day to bring you the very best cutting-edge stories that I can. To get 2 free weeks of my newsletter, go to GundersonCapital.com. To talk to us about our fee-based only money management services, call us at 855-611-BEST. Now, back to the second half of the show. Back to the second half of today's Best Stocks Now show. Well, one of the biggest questions for people that are getting ready for retirement planning, they're either getting ready to retire or they're just retiring or retired. And let's just say their IRA has grown to $1 million and they want to supplement their Social Security, maybe a small pension, whatever. With withdrawals from their IRA. Now, over time, I'm just going to say, would you say that, and they say, how much can I take per year? Well, there's a lot of factors involved there. But still, would you say across the industry, 4% somewhere in there is kind of the number, the ballpark number?
Yeah, historically it's been four. It's kind of dependent on interest, certain interest rate environments, right? Five, whenever you've, especially when you include the '80s and in late '70s, right, when interest rates were through the roof, right. Well, in that case, you had the chance to take a bit more. But yeah, average wise, about 4%. And you saw a lot of, text that kind of lowered that number just a tiny bit, particularly over the last 12 years, when interest rates were very, very low historically. But yeah, that's roughly the number. And also depends on if you want to, if you're taking some principal, right, which usually, nowadays you're going to take a little principal along the way, at least at some point. But, about 4% is about the drawdown number.
Now, let's just say this. I mean, that's a very conservative number because the S&P 500 over the long haul has averaged about 10%.
Yeah. Over a long period of time.
Yes. Okay. And the bond market has definitely done a little bit better than 4%. Homes have done about 6%. Well, here's Bernstein's estimate. They say that the U.S. stocks over the next 10 years are going to average 4% annual return. Well, I guess it depends on which stocks you invest in, right? I mean, they're probably using the S&P 500 as a gauge there. So that's a very conservative. When the long term has been more like, well, let's look at the last 10 years, okay? The last 10 years for the S&P 500, which I can look up in my Best Stocks Now app.com, it gives not only the 10-year return for the indexes, but of sectors, of individual stocks, etc. Over the last 10 years, the S&P 500 has delivered 14% per year. 4% is a really conservative estimate. This is Bernstein, which tends to be a value house. And they're saying that over the next 10 years, bonds will return 3.5%. So, look, I'd like to bring these macro outlooks to your attention to see how everybody kind of has a different outlook going forward. That's one of the most conservative ones I've seen. Now let's just look at IEF, which is a U.S. bond fund, okay? That's U.S. Treasuries. What has it done over the last 10 years? This is just raw numbers according to the app, 7% per year. So, 4% is very, very, very conservative number.
And when we're putting together a plan, we're usually using between 5 and 6.5. Usually, 6 to 6.5 in pre-retirement and 5% in retirement, and that's because we're planning, you know, potentially 40-35 years out, you know, in advance. We don't want to use a high return rate simply just to make somebody's plan work. We want to build some conservative assumptions since we're planning so far ahead. But yeah,
yes,
a 10-year number. You know, to me, you know, when you see some of these numbers, particularly when they talk about the drawdown factor, you know, unfortunately, I feel like a lot of firms out there will almost scare their clients to take any money out in retirement because, you know, they want to keep the money and keep it under management, I guess.
Well, let me just tell you this. It's my experience over the years, over 2 decades in the business. I've met with countless amount of people. I would say the vast majority of retirees never take anything out of their IRA because of one, fear, or two, they don't need it, or three, they want to pass it on to the next generation, or they don't want to pay the taxes. Now, they have to start taking it out.
74, I guess it's going to be 73, 74 now, but depending on the next few years. But, yeah, 73, I think, at the moment.
But I would say the vast majority of people, they plan all their lives, right, save and plan all so they can live off their retirement, and then they never tap into it or touch it when it comes to that point. That's just my experience.
I always say it's harder to get a saver to spend than a spender to save. So.
Okay, now let's go back to AI, which is a little more exciting than 4 or 5% over the years. AI. NVIDIA should reinvigorate the AI trade. Well, Barclays.
Reinvigorate?
Yeah, you know what? I've just noticed over the years, too, that usually the last one to the party is Barclays, which is a big British bank. They're sleepy, they're slow, they're just noticing that AI is reinvigorating. The AI trade has been invigorated ever since Microsoft came out with their stunning ChatGPT news. And so now, finally, the Barclays analysts, somebody talked to them in the lunchroom. Have you looked at AI recently? No, I'll have to look into that, Charlie. I don't know how it works. But
oh, it looks great. Yeah,
they're just late to the party. Google pitches AI tool to news publishers to assist journalists. Well, I just know for a fact that a lot of journalists are turning to AI. You can try it out yourself. Go to ChatGPT. Say, I want a 2-paragraph article about the San Diego Padres' chances of making the playoffs this year.
How many times have you asked it that?
I haven't, because I know they're not going to do it. But you know what? I don't want to. But that's what's happening. This AI thing is going to start showing up. It already is. You don't even know it.
Well, and it's causing a fight in Hollywood between writers and actors and everything else. It's one of the big sticking points at the moment.
That's exactly right. Okay, now, the one we haven't heard about yet on AI, and there's rumors swirling, the one who has not really come out with any AI plans, but you know they're working on it, is Apple. Apple has said to have built a ChatGPT-style bot for employees only at this point in time. So that's one that you can be looking to at some point in time to unveil their own AI ambitions. So, yes, it's not being reinvigorated. It's underway. It's well underway, the AI race. Okay, we talked about Netflix, which, you know, I mean, there haven't been any blockbuster movies to speak of. Streaming is a very crowded space.
We'll see how Barbie does this weekend.
Yes. I don't know. You know, I have not seen any reviews. I've got some grandchildren, granddaughters in that 9 to 12 age.
It's PG-13, Bill. You might want to screen that one yourself.
I think
before.
Their parents are going to watch it first right. to determine whether or not, you know, there's any kind of hidden messages in there or blatant messages.
Probably blatant.
Okay, let's check in on Travelers. You know, the other weird thing is they're combining Barbie in a double you know, what do you call that? Two movies together. And the other one is Oppenheimer, which is, he's the inventor of the hydrogen
bomb. The nuclear
bomb,
right?
That makes no sense. They're trying to indoctrinate our kids into something. You know, you got to be careful. Travelers is up 2.6%. They had a good report. That's the pride
driving
of Minneapolis,
Dow.
Right?
Yeah.
Where we just spent some time. And it's the insurance stocks have actually had a pretty good year. Now, my favorite stock of all time in today's world is IBM, which has been one of the worst performing stocks. Look at IBM.
No, I was going to tell you, if you could guess what the four names that are driving the Dow are today.
Well, it's Travelers and IBM. That's two right there.
Yeah, there was another one. Johnson & Johnson, 5.8%. I knew you would. I think they came out with some earnings today. That was the other one that was.
Now, if you own those kind of stocks, you should use that 4% return over the years. Just for fun. I'm just going to do this for fun. This is not. What has Apple averaged over the. If you'd have just owned Apple, which, you know, no financial planner would recommend that, but I do know people that follow that and do own a big chunk of Apple. Apple's averaged 30% per year over the last 10 years. It's not going to do that over the next 10 years. I'm just throwing out numbers here. Okay. And last but not least, Philip Morris, which it's up. So that's why your Dow is up today. Okay, when we come back, there's just a couple of others we'll mention, and then we'll look underneath the surface of the market, and I'll tell you what my observations. This is the Best Stocks Now show. And welcome back here to the final segment of today's Best Stocks Now show. Well, I think it's fair to say that tech is having a rough day today. Just the opposite of the Dow. You've got the Dow up 200 and the NASDAQ down 200. And, of course, it's been just the opposite all year long. I did say it as the first half came to a close, I said you're going to start to see some sector rotation in the second half of the year. Especially be careful with new money that you deploy. Well, today the Dow is having a pretty good day, actually. And I would just say that you also have a contrast between high P.E. stocks and low P.E. stocks. I would say since the first half of this quarter or half began, we're 3 weeks now into the third quarter of 2023, I would say that the low P.E. stocks have done a little bit better. Although the NASDAQ's had plenty of good days here recently, you know, as recently as last Thursday and Wednesday, et cetera.
Yeah, just a little more volatility, which you would expect on the NASDAQ side. But, yeah, I mean, I think since the handful of those names have run up, well, you know, in that moment, right, you're going to have a bit more volatility around those valuations where they are now, much more, you know, in both directions, more than the volatility you would have had previously, given the fact that, you know, all your volatility was good because it was just going up, right?
And I've been saying that doesn't mean you get rid of your high P.E. stocks and shift all to low P.E. We've been talking about new money. And you've got to be willing to absorb some of the, these high PE stocks, when they disappoint a little bit, they're going to sell off more than if a low PE stock disappoints a little bit. Okay,
yeah.
The Dow.
Oh, Bill, before you get rolling, yes. I tell you what, one of my most probably frustrating stories that I've seen recently, and just north of here is where it happened, but did you see the tornado in the Pfizer plant in North Carolina?
Look, I thought we had one here yesterday. It was my house.
It was ugly,
was shaking,
wasn't it?
Yeah. But I did see that a Pfizer plant in North Carolina,
and thankfully no injuries, I don't
was
believe,
crushed.
But, well, and the thing that blows my mind is have we not learned anything from the baby formula deal a handful of years ago? I mean, you've got essentially 25% of all sterile injectables used in U.S. hospitals are built at that facility.
Wow.
And there's like 50, I think it was like 50,000 pallets of medicine thrown around. I mean, you've just got to.
Yeah.
I mean, how can you have? You need to spread out your supply chain within the U.S. I thought we were doing more onshoring and learning that from COVID. But I'm like,
I saw a picture of that plant. It was destroyed.
Right.
And so, yes, we get tornadoes in our neck of the woods. And having said that, what's the stock of the day? A company that's also had its issues, Johnson & Johnson.
Johnson, right.
That's the stock of the day today, which it hasn't been that in years, but it is today. It's up 6.1%. It's doing just the opposite of what Tesla's doing. Johnson & Johnson has a P.E. ratio of 15. Tesla has a P.E. ratio of 73, so you can see kind of the difference. When one beats a little bit and one misses by a little bit, you see what happens in kind of a high PE environment that we're in. We were in a good PE environment when we started the year. Now we're in that higher PE range, multiple range, and you're going to see more of these kinds of days. IBM's up 2 points. Does that mean I go rushing in and buy Johnson & Johnson and IBM? I'm not. But they're going to have their days, too. Travelers is up 2.5. Merck is up 2.2. Boeing is having a good day. It's up 1.8. The Dow's doing very good. And let's not forget, as of last Friday, the Dow was up 4.5% year-to-date. That's it, 4.5%. Goldman Sachs is up 1.7. Exxon's up 1.2. Dow having a good day. What's not doing well in the Dow? Well, the higher P.E. end of the Dow. Intel's down 2. Salesforce, which broke out yesterday, is down 1.9, and Microsoft, which broke out on Monday, is down 1.5 today. Why? Because Tesla's margin, right? Is it fair that Microsoft sells off because Tesla's margin came in? That's just the way it works.
And, I mean, in reality, Musk has really said for the last handful of months that, he's ready to compete on price. But you know why? Because he's producing, delivered 400,000
yes.
vehicles this
he's
quarter.
He's got a lot more wiggle room than the other guys.
There's only one, really only one other that's producing those kind of amounts of vehicles, and that's BYD or Boyd over in China. So.
Now, my second pick for stock of the day, Zions Bancorp. It's up 9.1%.
I'm just glad they had a good report.
Yes, I mean, but not all regional banks. Truist, on the other hand, is down 5.3%.
Yep.
So even within a sector, you have your winners and your losers. Okay, and then Abbott Labs is having a good day, 4.5%. It's all boring stocks that are having a good day. KeyCorp. Bristol Myers, and then your two big losers that are really driving the techs to the downside. It's funny that they paint the entire tech sector with the same red brush because of Tesla and Netflix, neither of which are really tech stocks, but that's the way it is. AMD's also having a bad day, down 4.2. What are the winners in the NASDAQ? Amgen, Marriott, and Pepsi.
That's a combo.
You probably didn't even know they were in the NASDAQ.
I was about to say, sounds like they should be in the Dow.
So anyways, that's the way it is on this Thursday, July the 20th. Tomorrow, we will have about 70, 90, about 20% of the S&P 500 stocks, or more than that. No, about 40% of S&P 500 stocks will be in the books. And we're going to have a good look at, we're really focused on next year's earnings estimates, 2024. That's what we're building our models on.
And of course, we've got our Fed meeting next week on Tuesday and Wednesday. So that'll be, a fun build up, right?
But our stance continues to be we've entered a new phase in the market. We're not in that easy picking stage that we were at the beginning of the year. A lot of those stocks have gone up meteorically, such as NVIDIA and Netflix, and you have to be careful where you deploy new money, and you have to also watch your stocks that have gone up meteorically and look for maybe, I don't know, it just depends on the valuation. Most of them, for me right now, are holds. I know it sounds dull, but that's the way it is. Are there still buys out there? Yes, lots of them. Give us a call at 855-611-BEST to set up an appointment, 855-611-BEST, or get the newsletter this weekend to see how we're doing, what we own, etc. Gunderson Capital to GundersonCapital.com. You have 2 free weeks of the newsletter at GundersonCapital.com. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.